Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
On MSNBC this morning, host Mika Brzezinski asked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi if she felt any more pressure to open an impeachment inquiry now that one House Republican, Michigan's Justin Amash, says President Trump should be impeached for obstruction of justice.
No.
No?
No.
Why?
Well, we have to, we're not, this isn't about politics, it's not about passion, it's not about prejudice, it's not about politics, it's about patriotism, and it's about the presentation of the facts so that the American people can see why we're going down a certain path.
And that path is to let committees investigate the president. Meanwhile, this morning, Chairman Gerald Nadler gaveled the House Judiciary Committee into session with an empty chair for former White House counsel Don McGahn, who ignored the committee's subpoena to testify about ways Trump tried to curtail special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. And on another front, a federal judge yesterday upheld a different congressional subpoena for Trump's financial record. So lots going on, at which times we turn to NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Robin.
So what's likely to happen here to Don McGahn? Will he be held in contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with that subpoena? You know, Nadler has that power, but does that have teeth?
Well, that is a great question. Nadler has suggested that he is prepared to go in that direction and that the committee could vote maybe later this week to hold McGahn in contempt of Congress. Nadler's position is that McGahn, who's a private citizen now, could, if he wanted to, come and talk to the House Judiciary Committee. He just is kind of choosing not to do that in view of the dispute between the Judiciary Committee and the House Democrats and the White House and the Justice Department. McGahn's position is he still owes some responsibility to the president as a former White House counsel, and given the legal position that's been delineated by the Justice Department this week, he thinks it's more appropriate for him not to give the committee any documents or to give it his testimony. The question is, as you mentioned a moment ago, will that mean that he is held in contempt by the committee and potentially the full House? And no one knows the answer to that. We're still kind of waiting and watching all these events play out in real time.
And you mentioned that McGahn was conscious of the legal decision. Let's listen to President Trump yesterday defending the decision by administration lawyers to block McGahn's testimony.
Well, as I understand it, they're doing that for the office of the presidency for future presidents. I think it's a very important precedent. And the attorneys say that they're not doing that for me. They're doing that for the office of the president.
And that's President Trump yesterday. Remind us, why do lawmakers want to hear from McGahn?
Well, McGahn is a key figure in Volume 2 of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. It was McGahn who, according to the report, the president called at home from Camp David and said, I want you to call the Justice Department and remove Robert Mueller from the Russia investigation. And then later on, according to the report, it was McGahn who the president called in and said, I want you to falsify evidence that suggests that we didn't have that earlier conversation. And so for the president's opponents, people like the speaker, like Jerry Nadler and others, this is a smoking gun, in their view, about an attempt by Donald Trump to obstruct justice by getting rid of Robert Mueller as the special counsel and trying to stop the Russia investigation. Ultimately, as we know today, the special counsel investigation didn't find there was a criminal conspiracy between the president's campaign in 2016 and the Russian attack on that election. But at the same time, Democrats, the president's opponents, argue that those actions the president took to try and stop investigators from finding out what they could find out are in and of themselves serious crimes, breaches of the law. And what Jerry Nadler wants is Don McGahn to come in and tell that story to Congress in the open, to have him on TV and on the radio talking about those things and giving the documents that he has that might add more to the story.
I want to make sure we've touched on this in the minute we have. There's also the subpoena for Trump's financial records. Yesterday, a judge ruled that Congress is within its rights to investigate potential wrongdoing by the president, even without first opening an impeachment inquiry. Of course, President Trump is saying that was an Obama-appointed judge. But just briefly, what is the significance of this and the financial records?
The dispute here is whether or not the president might be subject to some kind of compromise by some foreign entity overseas. There's been a lot of speculation that has swirled about that. The president said that's not the case. He isn't beholden to anyone overseas. But congressional Democrats have said in order to be sure of that, they need, among other things, the president's tax records and these accounting documents they want to get from this contractor that the president has used in the past. The president sued to stop that from happening, to quash the subpoena that the House Oversight Committee had issued, led by Chairman Elijah Cummings of Maryland. And what the judge said was Congress has the power to compel, in this case, this accounting firm to give the information that it wants, because that's part of Congress's job to hold the president to account and make sure that the laws are being upheld. The president has appealed that decision. That's going to go to the next highest court. And so although it hasn't been resolved for now, the precedent, at least for Democrats, was a good one in terms of these ongoing investigations that they want to continue to do.
NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing, thank you.
Thank you.